Brady Papinga. Hola, ¿cómo estás, amigo?
Hey, buenos días. Siempre es un placer de acompañarte, Billy.
Perfecto. All right, let me ask you a random question before we get into the football. So I've got Wimbledon on my screen right now. I've got a new-ish executive producer who loves lacrosse. A buddy of mine has gotten obsessed with golf, so we went to Topgolf yesterday. You were a professional athlete at a high, high level. So I love this question for you. If you had to choose a different professional sport to play, and it couldn't be one of the big sports, couldn't be hockey or football, what you played, or basketball or baseball, is there a random niche sport that you would like to have had a career in if it weren't for your football career?
Well, you know, the you bring up lacrosse. In my small little corner of a place I grew up in Wyoming, we didn't have that. But as I moved to Southern California and it's become a little bit more of a popular sport here, that would have been my sport, man, because there's a physical element to it. I learned this because my kids have been playing lacrosse. Did you know, and I didn't know this, did you know that basketball is inspired because of lacrosse? Did you know that?
No, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Naismith. So the story is a quick one. Naismith, who invented basketball, he was looking for an indoor version of lacrosse that could be played during the winter because Naismith was up in, I think, either the northern United States or Canada, one of the two. And that's where he came up with this idea to play inside, very similar configuration to lacrosse. You have a little less people, but like even in lacrosse, they talk about zone defenses, pick and rolls, you know, pick and pops, drives and kicks. Same thing as basketball. So it'd be that. It'd be lacrosse.
I did not, by the way, I know nothing about lacrosse, and Brady, people love it. People that love it absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's a great sport. It's a really good sport. Now, from a spectator standpoint, I think there's a lot more confusion. Probably the reason why it hasn't really become a big time sport. But from a participant standpoint, it hits all the tones of what makes the sports fun. Violent, exciting, got balls flying at like 120 miles an hour past your head, but you got a helmet on, so you're not gonna, you know, risk getting blasted in the face with the ball. But a lot of fun stuff when participating in lacrosse.
All right, speaking of violence, fun stuff, excitement, is there a team maybe that is not the typical NFL team that we talk about that has you intrigued, has you excited, has you worried, any of those for this upcoming NFL season?
Oh, I like the Chargers.
Really?
The Chargers are intriguing. Yeah, because you got Harbaugh's first year back, you know, and I think any coach that comes into a new situation, they're feeling the situation now. The players that were there, they're filling the coach out. And then the second year is usually that year where, you know, the coaches get their guys, exact guys in there. The expectations are set. Everybody understands exactly, like, what we're trying to accomplish. With Harbaugh, what I think is a big change for most of the players is a philosophy of physical football. And not that it doesn't exist elsewhere, but when you talk to Harbaugh, I mean, this is, you know, Bo Schembechler was his coach in college, and that's where the fullback was like the glorified position, and you're pounding the ball between the tackles. And hence the reason why, you know, the Chargers have an actual fullback. Point is that this mentality of run the ball and establish a physical presence most likely took them a little bit to get used to, because the philosophy used to be, hey, we're going to go out and play, essentially, going back to basketball on turf. And so once that mindset is shifted, that's where you see a lot of just improvement. And so that's a team to me that it's a team that could go on and win the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen.
Win
the whole thing. Because if you can pound the ball, you got Herbert back there zipping. I mean, he could easily be, especially if you have a really effective running game, as prolific throwing the ball as anybody in the league, anybody. And so like that's like the indicator. Now it's their defense, but guess what? If you got a really good, again, physical psychology of your team that everybody's accepted, and then you got a running game to support this defense to where you're possessing the ball, you're positioning your defense where they can be successful and not overloading them with possessions, which a lot of these passing teams can do because the ball, you know, the clock stops with incompletions, those things. But that helps the defense. So it's that to me is the one team, and you know, I'm in Southern California, that I'm kind of just looking at, just peeking at them, because they have, I would say, the makeup. Harbaugh has the history of making a big time run, especially in year two.
I mean, they did win, what, 11 games last year? I kind of forget because of how good the AFC is. And so that dovetails, Brady Papinga, right into this question I wanted to ask you. That's perfect. So, okay, the Ravens are good. The Bills are good. The Chiefs are good. I think the Texans are going to be good. Maybe we'll see what the Steelers and the Bengals can do, but they have expectations. The Broncos won 10 games last year, if I remember right. Where do the Miami Dolphins fit into this crazy AFC picture?
Oh, they're just low on the totem pole. You know, I mean, that's they had a little run. I think it was McDaniels, what, first year?
Yeah.
Where they did well. Last year, you know, you got two out, and that really throws your whole program off because so much rides on that quarterback, and they didn't have a replacement for him. That was, you could say, functional. I'm not going to go too crazy on their ownership, because that's one thing I think when you talk teams, you have to talk programs, you have to talk organizations, because that all plays together. The Jets are a very good example of that, how a terrible organization can really just undermine your team's performance. And there's question marks always about the Dolphins, you know, and I don't know the inner workings. It hasn't been egregious enough from a distance. Like with the Jets, we can all see it's okay. You had a Hall of Fame quarterback in your freaking locker room, and you couldn't go out and even, like, sniff the playoffs. That's organizational. I mean, you can't dispute that, right? The Dolphins, it's a little bit more, you got to kind of take it from a distance and sniff around a little bit. But because I love McDaniels, I love what he's done down there. It really hurt them to see Fangio go up to the Eagles and help them win a Super Bowl. But they're a team that there's nothing that jumps out about them this year where I'm like, ooh, even if Tua stays healthy, it's where I'm like, ooh, yeah, those guys, you're going to have to really, you know, pay attention to the Dolphins. Although I love McDaniels and I love the vibe, I don't know if they have an organizational
that
foundation that really makes them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like they had a moment.
Like, ooh, they got peaked. They did. They had a moment, but that's very typical with the Dolphins. You know, if you remember back when Pennington was there, Chad Pennington, they went to the playoffs. You know, everybody's like, oh, maybe this is something that's going to, you know, be more reoccurring with them. And it was a one-time deal. So I would have to just say with them, I'm not really the teams that you're talking about have by far more attention of contenders than Dolphins.
Brady Papinga, you are more, to say the least, of an Aaron Rodgers believer at this stage of things than I am. You also are friends with him, and you know him, and you played professional football. And let me just check my list. I didn't do any of those things. So you have a very sort of unique up-close perspective on this. The culture is going to be markedly better than the Jets. The ownership situation is excellent. Mm-hmm. There's continuity in the coaching. They've collected a lot of talent. That GM's been pretty ambitious in Pittsburgh. What is the sort of reasonable spectrum of what's going to happen for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year? What does that high and low look like reasonably this year?
Well, the high is they make noise, they contend. The low is they don't even make the playoffs, which, you know, with a Coach Tomlin team, that doesn't seem possible. So if I was betting, I'm like, they're going to make the playoffs, you know, and that's with or without Rodgers. Because the one thing that concerns me a lot, and I love Aaron, man, you know that. I love my guy. Yeah. Aaron's my guy. The one thing that very much concerns me, I saw this when I was at the Jets game. I went to the Jets Patriots game last year. It was with my buddy Sione Takitaki. He played with the Patriots. So I was watching Aaron live. And, man, one thing that concerned me, and this happens to all older players, especially quarterbacks, is he was not wanting or willing to sit in there with pressure and take hits. It becomes a flincher. And what flinching does in so many contexts, especially in sports, especially a quarterback position where technical elements are so vital for delivering the ball on time, delivering it with accuracy, you can't flinch. Because flinching immediately destroys that technique. And so, and it bells you out. Like, basically, it's like this. The receiver flashes open. You feel the rush coming on. If you flinch or hold the ball trying to, like, avoid that, that receiver is immediately going to get covered. And so, and that's what happens with older players is you get tired. Your body gets tired absorbing these hits, especially at quarterback. So that concerns me because if he's still going to have that kind of response to the rush, it is going to detrimentally affect his ability to play quarterback. if it detrimentally affects his ability to play quarterback, they're going to have to look at the other guys to go in and, you know, maybe take over, which, you know, I think Tomlin's, they're in a position where they'll do anything at this point. They're not going to, you know, they don't have a long-term commitment to Aaron. There's not a lot of guarantees going on. So it's not like, you know, they have to play him much like the Jets felt like they had to. And so,
yeah,
like I said, I think they're going to be in the playoff hunt like they've have been, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh man, you better get your seatbelt buckled in because Rodgers is going to go and be his Hall of Fame self and they're going to be contenders. I still don't think they've done enough to elevate themselves to the elite teams in the AFC.
That is really interesting. Brady Papinga on the show. Brady, have you followed, it's complicated. Have you followed the NFL Players Association story involving the findings of, you followed this, right? Allegations of collusion and and not sharing the information. What? So you played. Yeah. What is the Players Association leadership doing? What is your read on this as a former player?
What a great question. It's so fun because it's like this. If a lot of people don't pay attention to it because it's kind of the Twilight Zone in the sense that in any other organization or any other transaction where you have one side of that transaction that's legally breaking the law of how you engage in goodwill negotiations and business practices, there would be some major consequences, fines, penalties, damages that would have to be paid out. And here we are, NFLPA, we're just like, well, you know, that happened, and there should be some penalty, but if not, then we're good. You know, don't worry about it. We'll actually help you kind of cover it up if, in fact, you needed us to. Here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. We as NFL players collectively are the worst businessmen of all the major sports in the history of the United States. Okay? We don't know what we're doing. And look, I get it. You know what? The careers are shorter. Our contracts aren't guaranteed. There's a lot of stuff going on here. There's a lot more players. You know, I don't think people realize that. So if you are going to have any union movements, I mean, you know how many people you have to, like, convince and how many factions you have to, like, get together to align interests, which, by the way, the owners know that, and they've done a phenomenal job of dividing factions amongst NFL players. So, you know, if you're going to get anything done, you basically just have to kind of bite the bullet, you know, and just go with it. So it's a messed up situation. Like, I'm reading it and I'm like, this in any other context, like this isn't just swept under the carpet. It's not something that's covered up. This is like big, it makes big news because we're talking about it. But I mean, there's stuff going on to where, like, that party who colluded, which is illegal, would be heavily held accountable and be in position to pay out major damages. And we're not even pursuing that. You know,
I think it's crazy.
It's nuts. So it doesn't make sense, you know, but it's to our brand, Bill. That's my whole point. Like, this is how we've been ever since, bless his soul, Gene Upshaw was like our guy that really got stuff done with the NFL and really made a difference. Could just give you an example. Our cut, when Gene Upshaw, before he passed away, was 60% would go to the players, 40% went to the owners. And then as soon as he passed away, immediately the owners were like, you know what, we're actually going to create this special fund. It's called the Stadium Fund. And we're going to take $1 billion off the top here. Yeah, you get. And we didn't, you know, D'Amore Smith didn't even flinch because he doesn't know what he's doing. We didn't know what we were doing in voting him in. And look, it was a good place. You know, guys are making good money. But are we where we could have been with people like Gene Upshaw leading the charge? No. But that's what you're dealing with. It's the NFL. We're just not good business people, Ben. Bill, we're just not good business people, bottom line.
The reason Devin Booker gets 75 or whatever million dollars is because the players in the NBA did the opposite, to your point, Brady. They took their amount of money from 41% 20 years ago to 50% today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah. Well, they have more leverage, too. I mean, they do. It's a little easier for them to get together and to put a stand. Like, for example, they could easily not play. It's not hard for them. They could go to other leagues, which, if you remember, I forget the contract negotiation, but it was around, I think, 2010-ish. And Kobe was even talking like, hey, yeah, I got a deal with Turkey. Yeah, you guys would pay me $30 million a year? Well, guess what? They'd pay me $20. And I have no problem sitting out unless you guys meet our demands and go make $20 million for this year. We don't have that as NFL football players. We can't say, hey, we're going to go to Europe and make, you know, or go to this other league or Canada and make any kind of, you know, money that makes sense. And then again, you have just the sheer numbers are different. So NBA, Major League Baseball, they have hit all the hot buttons and used all their holdings in terms of leverage to really negotiate phenomenal deals for their players. Owners are selling. The reason why do you think the owners are selling right now? Think about that. They're selling and cashing out, the Lakers being the latest, because why? They need cash. They need it. Why do they need cash? They pay their players so much, they're not making a lot of cash. Whereas you don't see a lot of NFL teams doing that. Why? Because they're just raking in the cash. So it's just two different worlds.
NFL owners absolutely epitomize the rich get richer. And we get, here's my yes. transition, Brady, ready for it. We get richer in spirit every time you're on the show. Boom! Brady Papenga. I don't speak Spanish, but I can speak English. Kinda. My friend, thank you as always for adios, mi amigo. Necesito practicar mi español mucho.
Oh, bien hecho. Te salió muy bien. Yeah. No nos veremos, amigo. Hey, good talking to you as always, Billy. You're the man.
You too. See you, dude.